Gillette presents the World Series. Today we bring you the second game between the New York Yankees and the St. Louis Cardinals from Sportsman's Park in St. Louis. This is a feature of the Gillette Safety Razor Company's cavalcade of sports, which includes the Kentucky Derby, the football bowl games, New Year's Day, all major boxing bouts, and other banner line events right around the sports calendar. And this is Red Barber speaking over the Mutual Network, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and their affiliates, plus shortwave outlets WGEO and WGEA, Schenectady, KGEI, San Francisco, which carry this presentation to our armed forces throughout the world. At this moment at Sportsman's Park, the Yankees are finishing their preliminary infield workout. The Cardinals have already taken theirs and retired to their clubhouses. And it is now a matter of definite starting record that it will be Bonham and Beasley, two right-handers, going this afternoon in this second game. First game, as you know, was won yesterday by the Yankees and defending world champions 7-4. Bonham has won 21 games in the regular season this year, and he has been quite a key man for the Yankees. As you recall, in last year's World Series, he pitched and won the deciding game, the crusher, the clincher. And this year, in early May, in beating Cleveland, he pitched the Yankees into first place, and they never afterwards relinquished it. And then it became Bonham's fate to pitch the deciding game, which gave the Yankees the pennant later on last month. And Beasley was in the position of possibly being the clincher for the Cardinals this year. This is his rookie campaign. This is indeed a signal honor for him to start this second game. And Beasley was to have been honored, as he was, although it would have been much more important if the Cardinals had lost their first game of the doubleheader Sunday, the last Sunday of the pennant race, because a lot of people thought, well, if that had happened, that naturally Cooper would go in to try and absolutely put the clincher on and prevent a tie. However, Southworth had made up his mind that had his ball club lost the first game to the Cubs Sunday, nevertheless, it would have still been young Beasley. So I say that just to let you know what the Cardinal skipper thinks about this young rookie right-hander who won 21 this last year. So it will be Beasley, that is definite. And the two teams are going otherwise just as they played yesterday. In fact, Beasley is now beginning to warm up, and the same is true for Bonham. For the Yankees, Rizzuto leads off at short. Rolfe follows at third. I'll go down these rather quickly, and Mel Allen will check them for you at the start of the ballgame. Cullen Bryant in right, DiMaggio in center hitting fourth, then Keller in left, Joe Gordon at second, Dickey catching, Hassett at first, and Bonham the starter. And for the Cardinals, Jimmy Brown at second base, Captain Terry Moore in center, Slaughter in right, Stan Musial in left, Walker Cooper catching, Johnny Hopp at first, George Karofsky at third, Slats Marion at short, and Beasley the starting pitcher. The umpires will be Summers of the American League back of the plate, Bob the National first, Hubbard of the American at second, and Major Kurth of the National at third. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a distinct pleasure and privilege to have with us here for a couple of moments a surprise visitor, Hank Greenberg, Lieutenant Greenberg of the United States Army. Hank, how are you?
Oh, I'm swell, Red, and it sure is great to be up here.
Well, it's great to see you, and congratulations from not only the baseball world, but from our entire country on your starting as a private and working your way up to second lieutenant.
Thank you, Red.
Well, Hank, is it a military secret where you're stationed now?
No, it isn't, Red. I'm at Fort Worth, Texas, Flying Training Command, under the command of Major General Yount. Mm-hmm.
And, Hank, have you been seeing much baseball lately?
I haven't seen a game since that last one I played in, May 7th, 1941. This is the first major league game I've seen since I've left New York.
Well, is that right? Well, Hank, I imagine as you sit here in your Army uniform and look down and see the boys in their baseball uniforms, you must have quite a lot of thoughts.
Well, I can't help thinking while watching these two great teams warming up on the field today that what makes our Air Forces so great is the same thing that makes the Yanks and the Cards pennant-winning clubs. Teamwork. You know that old baseball saying that to have a great team, you got to be strong down the middle. Catcher, pitcher, short, second, and center field. And that's true in the Air Forces, too. It isn't just a pilot any more than it's just a pitcher in a ball game. There are also the vitally important positions that are held down by the navigators, the bombardiers, the radio men, and the mechanics. And speaking of these last two, the radio men and the mechanics, that's what our team, the Army Air Forces, needs right now above everything else. and there's a swell spot waiting for them. Any healthy American between the ages of 18 or 44 inclusive who knows anything about using tools. Red, I don't want you to think I came over just to talk about radio men and mechanics, but I'm glad I've had the opportunity to. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks a lot to you, Hank. In other words, you're Lieutenant, but to all of us, you'll always be Hank. Thanks a lot, and we'll be glad to repeat that message for you many, many times. And that's to you radio men and mechanics to go to your nearest Army recruiting station and enlist as specialists. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn our sights back again onto the baseball diamond. The groundkeeping squad here at Sportsman's Park are busily going over the skin portions between the bases, smoothing it out, and in approximately 9 minutes, while the second game will be on. And there's a great deal of sentiment here in St. Louis about this second game, and there's a great deal of emotion, a great deal of hope, and perhaps there might be just a little doubt. And the gentleman to reflect all of that is the man of two cities, the famous sports columnist of the New York Journal American, who long before he got to the big town was just hand-raised all over this part of the country. And I'm talking about Bill Cora, who is another one of the great sports announcers in the Gillette Safety Razor Company's cavalcade of sports. And before we present Mr. Corum, the national anthem. Everybody, here's Bill Cora.
Thanks, Red. I'm following a big fella in this chair right now. Not only a big fella, Lieutenant Henry Hank Greenberg, but one of the nicest fellas I know and one of the best first basemen I ever saw play first base, and he could certainly roll that apple around for you himself. I remember so well the series between Detroit and Cincinnati in 1940, and Henry is one of my special favorites, and he looks wonderful in that uniform, I might tell you. But we're now coming up to the second game of this World Series, and no mention of it would be complete without saying something about what happened in the first game, because if the Cardinals have a chance in this series, I'm convinced it was born in that roaring uprising that they put on in the ninth inning yesterday. It was the first time in all the years that I've watched the Yankees, and I've watched the Yankees a lot of years, that they looked the least bit jittery, as if they didn't know where they were and exactly what was going on. In fact, they looked a little bit foolish, to put it frankly, in the ninth inning, and the Yankees seldom do that. You beat them once in a while, but it doesn't often look as if they've got their hands down, and that was exactly the way they appeared, and in the clubhouse afterwards, they looked and talked that way. McCarthy couldn't say anything for quite a little while, and I later talked to Chandler, and frankly said to him that he didn't look as if he had a lot. He said he didn't, because he said he hadn't warmed up, and he really hadn't expected to go in there. So that's evidence again that nobody on the Yankees believed what these Cardinals did was going to happen. It's a kind of a kid ball club they are, as we all know, and today they're pinning their faith on a freshman 21-year-old pitcher from Nashville, Johnny Beasley. A really great freshman pitcher. You'd have to go back in the records to a fellow named Grover Cleveland Alexander, way back in 1911, as I recall, to find a fellow with a better record. Beasley won 21 and lost 6, so that he is just as close as he could get without being dead-tied with his rival, who'll pitch for the Yankees this afternoon, Big Ernie Tiny Bonham, who won 25 and lost 5. You couldn't put two pitchers any closer together than that. Beasley just stopped warming up down there in front of me now. He's not as big a fella as Bonham. In fact, there's nobody on either squad as big as Tiny, who was born out in Iona, California. And I guess if he wins this afternoon after beating the Dodgers in the last game last year, he'll sort of Iona at that. But he is, as I say, a 220-pound, 6-foot-2 man, a big, sort of sad-faced, melancholy-looking fella. You know those big fellas that look that way? In contrast to Beasley, who's a cocky sort of kid that borders on chestiness and a very belligerent boy out on that pitching mound. Both right-handers, of course, and both, as I say, great pitchers this year and any year. Beasley a freshman, I would call Bonham a junior because this is his third season with the Yankees, although he came up from Kansas City to finish and not to start the 1940 season. Now, there was quite an argument with Southworth about whether to start Beasley today. This is a little behind-the-scenes stuff that I don't know whether everybody knows or not, but some of Southworth's advisors here in St. Louis ask him to start Ernie White, figuring that now he must find out whether the Yankees could hit left-handers. There's been a little question about that. Fellas like Cottonhead Smith and Chubby Dean, just what you'd call run-of-the-dugout left-handers, have troubled the Yankees some this year. And it was the contention of some of Southworth's aides and friends that he should find out in this game whether his left-handers could hold the Yanks. And Billy wavered for a while last night. He lives on the same floor in the same hotel I do, and I know this. He almost switched over to starting Ernie White in this game and then finally decided to go with the kid. So it's going to be Johnny Beasley, 21-year-old youngster, and now the Cardinals are racing out on the field, and I've got very little bit of time left here. So that's the story here at Sportsman's Park as the Yanks and Cards prepare to go into the second game of the series, and this is Bill Corm turning you back to Red.
Shortages of many things are threatened today, so it may not surprise you to learn the supply of Gillette Blue Blades for civilian use is growing more limited week after week. The reason is simple. Gillette production has been greatly reduced by order of the War Production Board to save steel. Altars, ship stores, and other agencies of our armed forces mount higher all the time. That means there won't be enough Gillette Blue Blades to go around unless civilians buy in limited quantities and use them thriftily. Just as a case in point, there are already areas where Gillette blades are difficult or impossible to obtain, despite our constant efforts to distribute them evenly throughout the country. The primary purpose of these broadcasts is to inform you of the actual razor blade situation and explain how to get maximum service from every blade. During the game today, we'll point out a number of simple ways for prolonging blade life and enjoying comfortable, good-looking shaves at the same time. And Johnny Beasley has taken the mound and is throwing down to Walker Cooper, his catcher. The Cardinals are on the field, standing to one side. To be the first hitter is Rizzuto. And before Mel Allen comes in to take over, before play starts, let's pause for station identification. This is Mutual.
This is WGN, the voice of the people, Chicago.
It's just a couple of seconds before the game gets underway, and here stepping into the microphone is Mel Allen. Mel, you did a great job yesterday, especially in handling that skittish no-hit whammy situation in the late innings. How are you today?
Great shape, Red. Getting ready to go now with the second game of the 1942 World Series. We're waiting for Phil Rizzuto to step into hitting position. As you know, Johnny Beasley, young right-hander, who's only 23 years of age, was 23 on May the 5th of this year.
We're all set to go. Johnny Beasley looks in against the side from Walker Cooper. Phil Rizzuto leading off. Red Ross
on deck. Roy Combine to follow. Beasley taking his time, checking to get the sign from Walker Cooper. Starts his wind up, and we're ready for the first pitch of the ball game. Here it comes. Rizzuto takes it. A little high, ball one. Mighty Kowalski is at third base for the Cardinals. Marty Merritt in short. Jimmy Brown on second. Johnny Hop on first. In the outfield, Stan Musial in left, Terry Moore in center, and Enos Slaughter in right. Strong arm youngster Johnny Beasley into his windup. Overhand fastball. A little bit high for ball two. And so Phil Rizzuto leading off for the Yankees, the first line. He went back, picked it up. Now he's walking out toward the mound, rubbing up the cover of the ball, then returns it to Beasley. Rizzuto went hitless yesterday in four times at bat. Already, Billy Southworth has a man warming up in the Cardinals bullpen. It's Howie Crist, a right-hander. Beasley all set for the 3-0 pitch to Phil Rizzuto. Here it is. Fastball inside, ball four, and Rizzuto walks to start the second game of the 1942 World Series. And remember, on Saturday, it will be resumed at the Yankee Stadium in New York City. Coming up now is Brett Brown. Bats him left-handed. Wears the number two in the back of his uniform. Borowski's still in close to third. Watch for a bunt. Out at first base with Phil Rizzuto is Johnny Hunt. Cardinal infield in bunt formation. The stretch has a throw up the first, no scope. Rizzuto back safely. George Barr, umpiring at first base very quickly, got in position to be able to call that play. Again, Beasley takes his pitch, takes his runner. Here's the pitch. It's a fastball. It's a little high for ball one. Johnny Beasley, having a bit of difficulty with his control at the moment, as the game gets underway, here comes Jimmy Brown trying to get to second base. Talk to the young right-hander. Perhaps settle him down a little bit. Time has been called. Now Jimmy Brown trots back out to second base. Red Ross steps out of the batter's box for the moment. Now he's back in. Stands in close to the plate. Feet spread slightly. Harold Combs cups his hands above his mouth, hollers something out to Beasley, and then hollers down into Ross to the plate. Beasley takes a stretch. Here's the pitch. Right in there. Fastball. Letter high for a call strike. 1-1 to count. Beasley's got a pretty good fastball. Not quite as good as Morton Cooper, but still a good one. He has more of an overhand delivery than Morton Cooper. Outfield for Red Ross toward right. And center right. He's still watching this pass to left center. Here's the pitch to Red. He swings on it. That's a fly ball. Hit out in center field. Terry Moore's coming in. Rizzuto halfway between first and second. Moore makes the catch for the out. Rizzuto comes back to first. And there's one away. Stepping in to hit now is Roy Cullenbine. Young boy who started out the year here in Sportsman's Park, St. Louis Browns, went over to Washington, then from Washington to the Yankees late in the season when Tommy Hendrick left the Yankees to join the Coast Guard. Cullenbine's a switch hitter. Of course, he's batting left-handed against the right-handed pitching of Johnny Beasley. Yesterday, Cullenbine had himself one hit three times at bat. That was a double. First pitch to Roy, right in there. Nice low curve for a call strike. Johnny hops in on first base for Rizzuto. Outfield over toward right for Cullenbine. First half of the first inning. One out. Rizzuto on at first base. Beasley at this time takes a stretch, checks the runner. Here's the pitch. Cullenbine takes it. Strike two call. Same pitch as the other one. So Beasley stands ahead of Cullenbine. No balls, two strikes. Johnny gives that Rosenbank some touch. Wipes his hand across his letters. Of course, actually, there is no letter. A couple of Cardinals, of course, on a bat. There goes Rizzuto. The pitch is taken there to throw out Mark Cooper to Mariner. Rizzuto slides head first and is in safely at second base. The pitch was outside for a ball. Rizzuto stole second. Memory serves me correctly. That's the first stolen base in the World Series this year. Beasley standing on the mound looking in to get the sign from Walker Cooper. Phil Rizzuto has shortly called second. Beasley takes a stretch, Texas runner.
Here's the pitch to Cullenbine. He swung on and missed for strike three. Strikeout number one for Beasley. Sort of a half-speed ball at which Cullenbine cut and missed. And here's the Yankee clipper, Joe DiMaggio, stepping in. Joe had himself three hits yesterday in five times at bat and drove in a run. Joe bats him right-handed. Feet spread wide. Cocks that bat over his right shoulder. There are two outs now. Rizzuto on at second base. First half of the first inning. No scores yet. Stretch by Beasley. Here's the pitch. DiMaggio takes one low outside for ball one. Cooper went to his knees to make the catch of the pitch. Whitey Kurowski is playing a very deep third in position to guard that third baseline. Marty Marin's playing way over toward third. Jimmy Brown a deep second. And over toward the bag in position to move in back of second. Johnny Hopp a deep first. Beasley taking his time at the moment. Eyes ready. Into the stretch. Rizzuto wandering off second. Here's the pitch to DiMaggio. He swings on it. It's a smash down to third. Kurowski comes up with it. There's his throw over to Hopp in time for the out. Although Hopp fell after making the catch, almost losing his balance, getting that throw from Kurowski. So that's all for the Yankees in the first half of the first inning. No runs, no hits, no errors for the Cardinals. One left on for New York. And the score at the end of the first half of the first inning, nothing for the Yankees, with the Cardinals coming up in the last half of the first inning. And it'll be Ernie Bonham on the mound for the Yankees, the boy who pitched the deciding victory in the 1941 World Series for the Yanks against the Brooklyn Dodgers, tossing a neat four-hitter to give the
Yankees their current World's Championship, which they're defending this year against the Cardinals. Billy Southworth is talking to Bill Summers, apparently about the very same thing that Bill Summers was talking to Johnny Beasley. Red leaned over and whispered to him, probably something about Beasley's foot position. Ernie Bonham, this year, has won himself 21 ball games and lost but five. And the amazing thing about Ernie is his marvelous control. He appeared in 28 ball games, pitched 22 complete games, and only walked 23 men, and several of those were intentional passes. Now, that's amazing. Bonham works very rapidly, and because of his wonderful control, doesn't waste too many pitches. So we may, if everything goes serenely and calmly, have a pretty fast ball game today, contrary to the one yesterday when it took approximately 45 minutes for the first couple of innings. And now the discussion apparently is still going on concerning Johnny Beasley's foot position, because Joe McCarthy's come out of the Yankee dugout talking to George Bart first base, with Bill Summers having come all the way up from home plate to continue the discussion. And there now are Bar McCarthy and Mike Gonzalez, the Cardinal coach, back at first talking. And now Joe McCarthy calls Buddy Hassett over to him to say something to him. And now there is Buddy trotting over to the mound to talk to Ernie Bonham. So Buddy Hassett's being a messenger boy at the moment for Joe McCarthy. Jimmy Brown's at the plate, all set to step in. There goes Buddy Hassett trotting back to his first base position. And we're all set. Jimmy Brown, switch hitter, batting left-handed against the right-handed pitching of Ernie Bonham. Big Ernie goes into his windup, and here is his first pitch. It's outside for ball one, fastball. Bonham has pretty good fastball, has a nice forkball, which he uses very, very nicely. He's all set. Here's the pitch to Brown. Jimmy takes it, and it's low inside for ball two. Brown had one out of four in yesterday's ball game. Outfield playing him just a little bit toward right and center and right. Keller is watching him to hit to left center. Bonham ready. Pitches. Jimmy Brown takes a fastball high for ball three. 3-0 to count on Jimmy Brown. Leading off of the St. Louis Cardinals. Last half of the first inning. No scores yet. Terry Moore is on deck. Then we'll come in to Slaughter. Rolfe at third. Rizzuto at short. Gordon on second. Hassett at first. Dickey catching. Bonham pitching. Jimmy Brown awaiting the pitch. Here it is. Jimmy takes it and it's in there for a called strike. 3-1. Billy Southworth, Cardinal Skipper, is coaching back at third. You already told you it's Mike Gonzalez back at first. Charlie Keller's in left, DiMaggio in center, Ellenbein in right. Bonham throws, and this pitch is high outside for ball four, and Jimmy Brown walks. To start the ball game for the St. Louis Cardinals in an offensive way, base on balls number one given up by Ernie Bonham. And so just as in the top half of the first inning when the Yankees leadoff man Phil Rizzuto walked, so does Jimmy Brown for the Cardinals. Stepping in now is Terry Moore, captain of the Cardinals, getting a nice hand from the Cardinal fans here at Sportsman's Park. He's the boy that broke up Red Ruffing's potential no-hitter in the eighth inning yesterday with two outs. Bonham takes his stretch, checks Jimmy Brown. Here's the pitch. Terry Moore shortens up, bunts out toward the mound. Bonham fast picks it up. His throw is to second base to Rizzuto. Not in time. Safe at second. That scored as a sacrifice for Terry Moore. He's not charged with a time at bat and go safe at first on the fielder's choice when Bonham elected to try for a force out on Jimmy Brown at second, but his throw was not in time. And so, for one of the few times since the series started, we've had evidence of the Cardinal speed. And here is Enos Slaughter stepping in. Men on first and second, nobody out. A stretch by Bonham. Here's the pitch to Slaughter. He takes it. It's in there for a called strike. And the Cardinals are threatening here in the last half of the first inning. Still perhaps carrying along on the momentum which they brought through in the last half of the ninth inning of the opening game yesterday. Jimmy Brown leads off second. Terry Moore off first. Bonham ready. Here's his pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. Slaughter cut hard. Atlee Donald is throwing in the bullpen for the Yankees. Limbering up, getting ready in case Joe McCarthy wants him. Outfield deep toward right for Slaughter. Yankee infield in double play position. Bonham ready to stretches. Here's the pitch. Slaughter swings and sends a fly ball out into left center. Charlie Keller is over under it. DiMaggio along with him. Keller makes the catch for the out, throws quickly into third. Holding it second is Jimmy Brown, and at first, Terry Moore. Slaughter, fly to Keller in left center for out number one, and here's Dan Musial coming up. Musial went hitless in four times at bat yesterday. Bats him left-handed. Over the public address system here at Sportsman's Park, as each man comes up to the plate for the first time, he's announced. And, of course, the applause follows through. Joe McCarthy signaling to his outfield to shift a little bit for Stan Musial. Looks from up here as if he's playing him almost straight away. Stretch by bottom. Here's the pitch to Musial. It's outside. Ball one. On deck, Walker Cooper. One away. Last half of the first inning. No scores yet. Jimmy Brown leading off second. Terry Moore off first. Bonham throws. The pitch is swung on and missed. Strike one. That fork ball came in there. Completely fooled. Stan Musial. He almost had his bat all the way around before the ball got across the plate. 1-1 the count. Bonham looking for the sign from Dickey. Has it. Brown leading off second. Moore off first. In comes the pitch. Swung on. It's a fly ball. Curving foul back to first. Buddy Hassett going over. Is under it near the field boxes. Makes the catch for the out and holds Jimmy Brown second as he throws on over to third. Ralph taking the throw on one hop. Bonham backing up third. So Musial fouls out to Buddy Hassett back at first base for out number two. Here's Walker Cooper coming up. Cardinal catcher. Bats him right-handed. Two down. Jimmy Brown still on second base. Terry Moore still on first base. Time's call for a moment. Buddy Hassett goes over to talk to Phil Rizzuto. Now they have exchanged their bits of information. Hassett goes back to first, Rizzuto to short. Bonham now is all set. Adjusts his cap, looks around, see if all of his colleagues are ready. Looks in to get the sign from Dickey. It's Walker Cooper, right-handed batter up there. Bonham's first pitch, swung on, foul off, back onto the screen, back to the plate, and strike one. Cooper had himself one hit and four times at bat yesterday. New ball in play. Bonham gives the Rosenbach a bit of a touch, holding the ball in his gloved hand. Wipes his pitching hand off across the letters. Standing sideways on the hill, looking in for the sign. Jimmy Brown moves off second. Moore wide lead off first. Bonham pitches. Walker Cooper swings. There's a splash. A base hit over Gordon's head out in the right center field. Going to be in there for extra bases. Coming in to score is Jimmy Brown. Terry Moore rounding third coming in. Going into second, standing up, Walker Cooper with a double, and the Cardinals lead 2-0. And Walker Cooper came through with a line drive over Joe Gordon's head out into right center field for a double, scoring Jimmy Brown from second base and Terry Moore from first base. And how those two Cardinal Jackrabbits were skirting around those bases. And so the Cardinals get the jump today, and they lead 2-0. And here is Johnny Hopup. Cardinal first baseman bats him left-handed. Walker Cooper leads off second. Bonham pitches, swung on and missed. Strike one by Johnny Hop. Hop was hitless in four times at bat in the opening game yesterday. 2-0 now in favor of St. Louis. Walker Cooper moves off second. Bonham takes his stretch, checks the runner, then pitches. Hop swings and fouls this one back. Strike two, the fastball. Just managed to get a little bit of it, swung a little late. Another new ball in play. Bonham in the process of giving it the old rough-up, getting the shine off of it. Two outs. Last half of the first inning. 2-0 favor of St. Louis. Bonham ready now. Here's his pitch to Hop. It's a fastball high, ball one. One ball, two strikes to count on the Cardinal first baseman. Walker Cooper moving off second base. Got a pretty good lead. Bonham leans forward, getting the sign from Dickey. Now is ready. Stretch the pitch. Hop takes this one high for ball two. 2-2 the count on Johnny. Steps out of the batter's box now for a moment. Gets a little dirt on his hands. Wipes his hands off on his trousers. Taps his cleats with a fat part of the bat, hitches up his trousers now, adjusts his cap, and moves back in. 2-2 the count, two outs, two runs in. Cooper on at second. Bonham all set, throws. Hop takes a high one for ball three. And so the string has run out on Johnny Hop, 3-2. Bonham had Johnny in the hole, and then trying to work very carefully on him. Run the string out to 3-2. Whitey Krowski's on deck. He'll hit next if Hop gets on. Bonham all set for the payoff pitch. Stretches. Here's his. Swung on. It's a high fly ball. Hit out into center field. Running is Walker Cooper. Under the ball is Joe DiMaggio. And he makes the catch for the out. And that's all for the Cardinals in the last half of the first. Two runs. One hit. A big double by Walker Cooper. No errors. One man left on base. 2-0 at the end of the first. To put it straight, fans, shaving's a lot quicker and more comfortable the old Gillette way. Why, you'll be delighted at the difference it makes when you prepare your beard with Gillette shaving cream, either lather or brushless, and walls through it smoothly with a Gillette blue blade in your Gillette razor. Yes, sir, these three make a perfect combination, like red, white, and blue. Many men think brushless cream best, and if you're one of them, you'll prefer Gillette brushless by a wide margin, I'm sure. It's greaseless, can't clog razor or drains, rinses off in a jiffy, and stays moist on your face. Now, it doesn't cost a cent more to enjoy the extra luxury of shaving the all Gillette way.
Charlie Keller leading off, then Joe Gordon,
followed by Bill Dickey. Johnny Beasley has a two-run lead to work on. And needless to say, those two runs will certainly fire the Cardinals to a new flaming spirit, which they demonstrated they had in the last half of the ninth inning yesterday. They mean to make a real battle out of it all the way. Here's Charlie Keller digging in. Keller was hitless and four times at bat yesterday. Bats him left-handed. Beasley throws, and his first pitch is a little high. Ball one. Joe Gordon's on deck. First half, the second, 2-0. Favor the Cardinals. Outfield playing Keller deep. Way around toward right and center and right. Watching him to slice to left. In comes the pitch to Charlie. Takes it inside. Ball two. Almost had the inside corner with that one, but not quite. 2-0 to count on Keller. Charlie packs a lot of power, and he gets hold of the ball. And drives him viciously. Here's the pitch. Keller takes it, and it's in there for a called strike. 2-1. 2-0 favor of St. Louis, first half of the second. Beasley ready. Rocks in the box. Overhand pitch. A little high. Ball three. 3-1. Sort of a half-speed ball. Beasley goes back to the rosin bag, gives it a bit of a squeeze. Eyes all set. Keller digging in, awaiting that 3-1 pitch. Beasley now set to throw it into his windup. Here it comes. Keller takes it, and it's in there for called strike two. Keller had started toward first, but Bill Summers went up for the right hand and belled forth strike, and it brought Keller back. Don't know whether or not you can hear Bill Summers calling these decisions, but he really yells them out. Very colorful umpire. Here's the payoff pitch to Charlie Keller. He swings on it, sends a high fly ball out into short center. Terry Moore coming fast, still coming, still coming. He's under it and makes the catch for the out. Along in front of him were Marty Marion and Jimmy Brown, the Cardinals shortstop and second baseman, respectively. One out for the Yankees, first half of the second. And here's Joe Gordon stepping in. Joe bats him right-handed, went hitless and five times at bat. Right-handed hitter, the outfield shifts way over toward left. Beasley taking his time right now. Gordon standing deep in the batter's box, holds that bat down at the end of the handle. Here's the first pitch to him. Outside, ball one is a fastball. Beasley trying for that outside corner. Joe struck out on two pitches along those lines yesterday, so they're still pitching him outside. Beasley ready for the next one. Overhand pitch into the dirt. Bounces past Walker Cooper. Ball two. New ball thrown out to Beasley. It was thrown over his head. Rolls out to second base. Jimmy Brown picks it up. 2-0 to count on Gordon. One out. Nobody aboard. First half of the second. 2-0. The score in favor of St. Louis. Bill Dickey is on deck. Gordon up there batting right now. Beasley rocks in the box. Here's his pitch. Right through there for a call strike. Fastball at high. 2-1 on Joe. Gordon cocks that bat up over his right shoulder. Beasley into the windup throws. Fastball, and it's in there for strike two. Call. 2-2 the count. Walker Cooper down in the crouch, back of the plate, giving the sign to Beasley. Johnny has it. Here's his next pitch to Gordon. Joe swings, launches a line drive over Kowalski's head out in the left field for a base hit. Stan Musial racing over, getting in front of it. Falls down, and Gordon's throwing, going to second base as Musial has trouble getting up, and finally his throw goes into third. Musial fielded the ball, started to throw to second and fell down and couldn't get up in time. And it scored as a two-base hit for Joe Gordon. And that's the first hit for the Yankees off Johnny Beasley. It was a line drive over the head of Kowalski along the left field line. Musial got in front of the ball, started to throw to the second. As he picked it up, it fell down and had no chance to make his throw. So we have Joe Gordon on at second base. One out, and here's Bill Dickey. Dickey had 2-for-4 yesterday. 2-0 favor the Cardinals. Here's the pitch to Dickey. Low inside, ball one. And that double for Gordon was his first World Series hit this year. Beasley takes his stretch, checks Gordon leading off second, pitches to Dickey. Bill swings, sends a ground ball down to first. Hop is up with it, a race for the bag. Hop wins it with Gordon taking third on the play, and there are two outs. Dickey grounding out to Johnny Hop unassisted. Two down, Gordon on third base, having advanced to third on the infield out. And here's Buddy Hassett stepping in. Buddy had 2 out of 4 yesterday. One of them a double, and drove in 2 runs. Hassett chokes the bat just about an inch or so. Outfield playing him almost straight away. Beasley checking with Walker Cooper for the sign. Has it into a full windup. In comes the pitch to Hassett. Buddy takes a fastball inside. Ball one. First half of the second inning. Second game of the World Series. Cardinals lead 2-0. There are 2 outs here in the first half of the second with Joe Gordon on at third. Buddy Hassett batting. Beasley's all set. Hassett digs in. In comes the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike one. Hassett really swung hard on that one. Took a vicious cut at that ball. 1-1 the count on the Yankee first baseman. Beasley stands on the mound, just looking down. Now he looks into the plate. Cooper flashes in the sign. Beasley has it into the windup. Overhand fastball swung on. It's a ground ball hit out to second. Brown's up with it. Throws to Hop in time for the out. That's all for the Yankees. In the first half of the second, no runs, one hit. No errors for the Cardinals. One left on. And at the end of 1.5, it's 2-0 favor of St. Louis. And that ends the first half of the second inning. Let's take a lightning trip from Sportsman's Park to the Gillette Factory in Boston. Believe me, it's worth seeing. 8 stories high and covering 2 city blocks. And every bit of the space devoted to the manufacture of razor blades and shaving cream. And that's to say, it was until Gillette swung into the production of war materials. This great plant, one of several throughout the world, is replete from basement on up with specialized equipment designed and, for the most part, built by Gillette engineers. Now, here are the electrically controlled furnaces that temper Gillette steel to glass-cutting hardness, the huge 5-ton sharpening machines, all the manufacturing facilities and testing devices that make the Gillette Blue Blade the sharpest, easiest shaving, and longest-lasting to be found anywhere in the world. Coming into the last half of the second inning, Whitey Kowalski leads off. Cardinal third baseman, then will come Martin Marion, and then Johnny Beasley. Kowalski, right-handed hitter. Bonham's first pitch is swung on. It's a bounder hit out to short. Rizzuto comes in, takes it on 2 hops, a quick throw over to Hassett in time for the out. Kowalski grounding out. Rizzuto to Hassett. Whitey went out yesterday in his 3 appearances, struck out 3 times. Here's Marty Marion coming up. Cardinal shortstop, who had 1 hit and 4 times at bat. Marion, very popular with St. Louis fans, you can hear in the background. His name announced over the public address system here. He got a nice round of applause. Lean, lanky fellow, bats him right-handed. Bonham's first pitch to him is in there for a called strike. Last half of the second, 2-0 favor the Cardinals. 1 out, nobody aboard. Bonham ready. He works fast. Into his windup again. The pitch comes into Marion. He swings on it. It's a pop-up. Bill Dickey going out for 400 in foul territory between home plate and first base and makes the catch for the out. 2 down for the Cardinals in the last half of the second. And here comes Johnny Beasley, the Cardinals' young pitcher, who, along with Morton Cooper, carried the Cardinals to their National League pennant in their terrific stretch drive. Beasley's batting average on the season, in case you're interested as to what kind of a hitting pitcher he might be, 137. 2 outs, nobody on. Beasley, right-handed hitter. Bonham's first pitch to the Cardinal pitcher swung on and missed. Strike one. He really cut hard on it. He wound up and cut loose. Beasley steps out of the batter's box for a moment. Now he's back in. Bonham, wasting little time, is ready for the next pitch. Here it is. Swung on and missed for strike two by Beasley, and he almost lost his balance again as he swung around on it. No balls, two strikes, two outs, nobody on, last half the second. 2-0 St. Louis. Bonham into the windup, overhand fastball, a little bit low, ball one. Bonham started off the mound toward the Yankee dugout, and Bill Dickey along with him, but Bill Summers said no, ball one. So it's one ball, two strikes. Bonham hiding the ball behind him, getting the sign ready, into his windup again. Overhand fastball's in there for call strike three. So the Cardinals go out in order in their half of the second. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. Strikeout number one for Bonham. He's walked one. And at the end of two innings of play, it's 2-0 in favor of St. Louis. The Cardinals, two runs, one hit, no errors, one left on. The Yankees, no runs, one hit, no errors, and two men left on base. This second game of the 1942 World Series is coming to you from Sportsman's Park in St. Louis. We pause for station identification. This is Mutual.
This is WGN, the voice of the people, Chicago.
For the Yankees, in the first half of the third, we'll have Ernie Bonham leading off, then back to the top of the batting order, picking up Phil Rizzuto, and then Red Rolfe. Johnny Beasley just reached the hill, having been the last batter in the last half of the second, took his time coming out. Bonham had a batting average of 122 on the season. Ernie's just coming up out of the Yankee dugout now. Pause for a moment to talk to little Pat O'Doherty, the Yankee bat boy, who is making his first real trip for the Yankees this time. He went with them a couple of times down to Philadelphia from New York. But it is his first Western trip, and he's getting quite a bang out of it. Little 16-year-old youngster. Ernie Bonham steps in. Johnny Beasley all set, and we're ready for the first half of the third inning with the Cardinals leading 2-0. First pitch to Bonham. Fastball. A little bit low, ball one. Beasley kicks the dirt in front of the rubber, picks up the rosin bag. Still holding it, now he drops it. Wipes his pitching hand off across the Cardinals on that bat in front of the uniform. Here's the pitch. Right through there for a called strike. 1-1. Bill Summers is a very colorful umpire. Used a lot of ginger and working back that plate and on the bases, too. Beasley's next pitch to Bonham. Swung on and missed. Strike two. One ball, two strikes on Ernie. Some of the boys call him Tiny. Some of them call him Jumbo. One extreme to the other. Great big fellow, though. Beasley throws. Bonham takes a fastball outside. Ball two. 2-2 the count. Phil Rizzuto down on one knee, watching the action. He's the next batter. Adley Donald, who was warming up in the Yankee bullpen, no longer active at the moment. Here's the pitch to Ernie. He swings on it, sends a grounder down toward first. Johnny Hop is up with it, race for the bag. Hop wins it, and Bonham is out at first. Hop, unassisted. And one away for the Yankees then, first half to third. And here's Phil Rizzuto, who started the ball game off by drawing a base on balls, then later stole second, but was left stranded. As Beasley bore down, retired the side without suffering any damage. Whitey Kurowski's coming in close at third, always expecting that bunt from Rizzuto. Beautiful thing about Rizzuto bunting is that he never telegraphs it. Beasley's first pitch to Phil. Swung on. There's a drive out into left field. Musial backing up for it. He's getting under it and makes the catch for the out. Two down for the Yankees in the third. And here's Red Rolfe, who fly to Terry Moore in the first inning. Rolfe making his last World Series appearance. He's leaving the Yankees to become coach of baseball at Yale University at the end of this season. Rolfe stands in close to the plate, knees slightly bent, chokes the bat about an inch or two. Beasley's first pitch is a sweeping curve that broke low inside, ball one. Roy Cullenbine's on deck. He'll hit next if Rolfe gets on. There are two outs. Nobody aboard at the moment. First half of the third inning, 2-0 in favor of the St. Louis Cardinals. Beasley ready for the next pitch, throws. Ralph swings. There's a drive going deep out to right field. Lena Slaughter going way back. 40, he can't get it. It's up against the wall. The ball bounds off. There's Ralph streaking second. Slaughter picks the ball up, throws in, but not in time. Ralph is in at second base, standing up with a two-base hit. That's the Yankees' second hit off Beasley. Both of them doubles. Gordon doubled in the second inning with one out. Got as far as third. Now with two outs, Ralph has doubled in the first half of third. Coming up is Roy Cullenbein, who struck out in the first inning. Roy batting left-handed. Red Ralph points to Marty Marion while looking at Coach Art Fletcher. In other words, signaling to Fletcher, you watch Marion. First pitch to Cullenbein is high outside for ball one. The Yankees stirring up a mild threat at the moment. Two outs. Ralph on second base in scoring position. Cullenbein standing deep in the batter's box, feet spread wide. Knees bent. In comes the pitch. He swings on it, lines it foul. Back of third, into the lower boxes. In short left field. Strike one. 1-1 the count on Cullenbein. He is wearing the same uniform number that was worn by Tommy Henrick, whom he supplanted in right field. Bill Summers points down to the section where that ball... Oh, I see what happened. The ball that was thrown back in was on the playing field itself. Summers pointed down to it. Billy Southworth ran over and picked it up. 1-1 the count on Cullenbein. Two outs. First half, the third. 2-0 Cardinals. Here's the pitch. Cullenbein takes it. It's high outside. Ball two. Two balls, one strike. Joe DiMaggio's on deck. He'll hit next if Cullenbein gets on base. Beasley slowing up just a little bit. Takes a stretch now. Here's the pitch. Cullenbein looks at one high outside for ball three. 3-1. Three balls, one strike. Two outs. Ralph on second base. Here's the pitch. It swung on. Fly ball. Snatched out in left field high. Mutual running over near the foul lines. Getting under it and makes the catch for the out. And so that's all for the Yankees in the third. No runs, one hit, no Cardinal errors, one left on, and the score at the end of 2.5 innings, 2-0, St. Louis. You know, we can't all see Berlin or Tokyo through the bombsight of an American plane, but all of us can and must do this. Collect every bit of old junk. Round up every bit of scrap metal and rubber, rags, vanilla rope, burlap bags. Turn it in. Scrap metal is urgently needed to keep the steel mills operating at a record-breaking pace. So don't delay. Clean house now. Sell your scrap to a junk man. Give it to a local charity. Or take it to wherever you see the red, white, and blue official salvage depot sign. Throw your scrap into the fight. Canadian listeners, check your local government offices for scrap disposal. Coming into the last half of the third, with the Cardinals leading 2-0, it'll be the top of the batting order for St. Louis. Jimmy Brown, Terry Moore, and Enos Slaughter. Cardinals took their two-run lead in the very first inning when Walker Cooper unloaded a double to right center field with Jimmy Brown and Terry Moore aboard. Brown having walked, gone to second as Moore, attempting a sacrifice, was safe on the fielder's choice. Here is Jimmy Brown leading off again as we come into the last half of the third. Bats him left-handed. The first pitch is high outside. Ball one. Bonham blows on his pitching hand a little bit. Starts his windup. Here's the pitch. Brown takes it right through there for a called strike. 1-1. Jimmy's got his cap tilted at a slight angle over his right eye. Bonham pitches. Jimmy Brown takes another one high. Ball two, the fastball. 2-1. Red Ralph's on third. Phil Rizzuto at short. Joe Gordon at second. Buddy Hassett at first. That's the Yankee infield. Dickey back of the plate. Bonham pitching. Charlie Keller's in left. Joe DiMaggio in center. And Roy Cullenbein in right. Bonham all set, throws. Jimmy Brown swings and drives one out toward left center high. There's Keller and DiMaggio racing over. DiMaggio gets under it and makes the catch for the out. One away. And it's Terry Moore stepping in. Terry bats him right-handed. Cardinal captain, center fielder. Great defensive outfielder. Hasn't been charged with a time advantage yet.
When Jimmy Brown led off with a walk in the first inning, he laid down a bunt. Bonham elected to try for a force play on Brown at second, but his throw was too late. Both boys went safe and later scored on Walker Cooper's two-out double. First pitch is high inside to Terry Moore for ball one. Bonham looks around the outfield. Now he's all set for the next pitch to Terry Moore. Here it is. Swung on and fouled back onto the screen. Behind the plate, strike one. Evens up the count, one and one. Enos Slaughter down on one knee, watching the action. He's the next batter. A lot of chatter on the Yankee infield. Bonham pitches, Moore swings, and he misses. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. Terry steps out of the batter's box for a moment, gets a little dirt on his hands. Billy Southworth hollers something up in the third base coaching box. Terry's a very likable boy. He is definitely St. Louis product. First pitch. Next pitch is swung on. It's a high pop-up. Foul off the left of the plate. Dickey is under it and makes the catch for the out. So Terry Moore fouls out to Bill Dickey. Two down now for the Cardinals. Last half of the third. And here's Enos Slaughter coming up. Slaughter flied to Charlie Keller in the first inning. Enos bats him left-handed. Wears the number nine on his uniform. Cardinals have white uniforms with red stripes up and down the trouser legs. Red piping all the way around. He swings and fouls the first pitch off up onto the screen, back to the plate. Ball rolled off the edge of the screen and down into the stands. Strike one. Cardinals out in front, 2-0. It's the last half of the third inning. Stan Musial on deck. He'll bat next if Slaughter should get on base. Here's the pitch. It's swung on as a ground ball hit out to short. Rizzuto comes up with it. Quick throw over to Hassett in time for the out. And so that's all for the Cardinals in their half of the third. Out in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. And at the end of three totals, the Cardinals 2 runs, 1 hit, no errors, 1 left on. The Yankees no runs, 2 hits, no errors, and 3 men left on base. And that ends the third inning. At World Shaving Headquarters, graduates of the country's foremost technical institutions are in charge of every manufacturing process. Among these men are specialists in metallurgy, chemistry, physics, mechanics, electricity. Yes, even electronics, newest of the sciences. At their command is every needed facility for controlling razor blade quality. Is it any wonder that today's Gillette Blue Blade is the sharpest, easiest shaving, and longest lasting blade in all this world? 2-0 St. Louis as we go into the first half of the fourth inning. Joe DiMaggio, Charlie Keller, and Joe Gorton will be coming up to face the right-handed slants of young Johnny Beasley, who after a bit of a shaky start, walking Phil Rizzuto as a starter in the first inning, growing a little bit wild with Red Raw before he got him out, has settled down and breezing along in pretty good fashion. He's allowed only 2 hits, doubles by Gordon and Raw. DiMaggio steps in, grounded out to Kurowski in the first inning, bats him right-handed. Cardinals young right-hander into the windup. Overhand pitch swung on. There's a line drive, curving foul out in the deep left field. In the stands, lower deck, strike one. DiMaggio caught a hold of that one very nicely, but pulled it too much. Kurowski's on third, playing deep, guarding that third baseline. Marin at short, Jimmy Brown at second, hop on first. Beasley's next pitch to the Yankee Clipper swung on. It's a foul coming back up into the press box. All the way up into it, too. Gentlemen of the press scattered. Beasley stands ahead of DiMaggio. No balls, 2 strikes. Outfield way around toward left. Beasley all set. Rocks in the box. Here's his pitch. Fastball over, trying for that outside corner, a little bit outside. Ball one. 1 ball, 2 strikes. Joe looking out the mound. Now Beasley's all set. Here it comes. DiMaggio takes a fastball outside again. Ball two. Beasley trying for that outside corner around the knees. Sent 2 fastballs in that direction. Came close on each occasion, but not quite close enough. 2-2 the count. DiMaggio leading off for the Yankees, first half of the fourth inning. Cardinals out in front, 2-0. DiMaggio cocks that bat up over his right shoulder. Beasley into the windup, throws. DiMaggio swings and pops it up, high into the air, foul. Coming back to first, Johnny hops under it in front of the Yankee dugout and makes the catch for the out. And DiMaggio fouls out to Johnny Hopps.
Charlie Keller, flies Terry Moore in the second inning.
Charlie Keller has been hitless in the series. Beasley, you all set for the first pitch, Charlie. Here it is. Pitch is swung on and fouled off to the left of the plate, going into the upper deck. Just to the right of the Cardinal dugout. Quite a scramble for the ball, as always. Strike one on Keller. Outfield deep, four around toward right. Beasley's working rapidly now. Throws. Keller swings and smacks one over his head, out over second base and into center field for a base hit. That's his first hit of the series. Ball fielded by Terry Moore, throws into second. And Keller, after taking his turn, holds on at first with a single to center. It was a sharp blast. It hit the ground about 10 feet in front of the mound itself and shot right up over the head of Johnny Beasley. Sort of shied away from it. Talked to a lot of ball players, a lot of pitchers. They say one thing that they always fear at some point is pitching to Charlie Keller because blazing drives him right back to that box at him. Here's Joe Gordon up. First pitch to him. Low, ball one. Joe doubled in the second inning for the Yankees. First hit off Beasley. Went over to third and infield out. Left-handed has it grounded out to Jimmy Brown. Cardinals are out in front 2-0. It's the first half of the fourth inning. One away with Keller on at first base. Gordon reaches down, picks up little third. Rubs it on his hands. Pitches up his trousers. Adjusts his feet. As Beasley gets set for the next pitch. One down. Keller moving on first. Here's the pitch to Gordon. He swings on it. There's a line drive to Kurowski. He grabs it. Quickly throws over to Hop, but not quite in time to double Keller. The throw is a little wide of the bag on the home plate side and gave Keller an opportunity to put on the brakes as he started for second. Enabled him to come back into first to avoid being doubled up. Gordon caught one right on the nose, lined it to Whitey Kurowski. We're out number two. Keller had broken for second with a crack of the bat, but play being in front of him as he was running, he was able to stop short and come back, although Borowski came very close to doubling him up at first. Here is Bill Dickey stepping in. Dickey grounded out to Hop unassisted in second. Two outs now. Cardinals are out in front 2-0. This is the first half of the fourth inning. Beasley pitches. Dickey swings and smacks one on the ground. Pass Hop out into right field for a base hit. Keller ground second but holds up short as Enos Slaughter throws a beautiful peg into third all the way on the fly. A perfect strike from right field into third. To Dickey, singles to right, sending Keller to second. That's Bill Dickey's third hit of the series. Up is Buddy Hassett, who grounded out to Jimmy Brown in the second. Hassett left-handed. Charlie Keller's on second base, Bill Dickey on first base, two outs. First half of the fourth inning, Cardinals ahead 2-0. First pitch to Hassett, fastball inside, backing away from the plate a little bit, ball one. Ernie Bonham, next hitter. Beasley takes his time. Now he's ready. Runners lead off. Here's pitch. As it swings, there's a drive going out to right field. Enos Slaughter is getting under it, waiting, and he makes the catch for the out. So once again, a Yankee threat is stopped. No runs, two hits, no cardinal errors, two Yankees left on. They've had one or more men left on in each inning of the ball game thus far. At the end of 3.5, Cardinals lead 2-0. And that ends the first half of the fourth inning. Here are a couple of things you may not realize. Grit that accumulates in a man's beard dulls a razor blade quickly. Also, a dry whisker is almost about equally as hard as copper wire. So, to get more shaves per blade and also enjoy greater shaving comfort, wash your face with soap and water before lathering. Do a job of it, too. Saturate your beard and give it time to soften. If you use lather shaving cream, dip your brush in water frequently. When you're through shaving, clean your Gillette Blue Blade in your razor. Just loosen the holder, rinse in hot water, and shake dry. This way, you avoid the danger of damaging the edges by needless handling. Take my word for it, fans. You get a flock of extra shaves, and I mean refreshing, good-looking shaves this easy way. Coming into the last half of the fourth inning, for the St. Louis Cardinals, we'll have Stan Musial, Walker Cooper, and Johnny Hawk. Cardinals out front 2-0. Those of you who might have tuned in late, Cardinals got their two runs in the first inning and Brown walked. Moore came up, bunted. Bonham elected to try for a forced play on Brown at second, but his throw was late so that Moore, both Brown and Moore went safe. And after two were out, walked Cooper double to drive them both in. In comes the first pitch now to Stan Musial. Outside, ball one. As we start the last half of the fourth inning. Musial checks with Billy swung on. Slow bounder out towards short. Rizzuto coming fast. Picks it up, flips over to Hassett. In time for the out, says George Barr. And Mike Gonzalez is walking down the first base line as George Barr walks away from him out towards the right field foul line. Stan Musial out at first in a very close play with Bill Rizzuto charging fast on Musial. Slow bounder out to short, firing underhand over to Hassett. Up is Walker Cooper. On his first pitch to Cooper, right through there for his ball strike. Cooper's double in the first inning. Drove in both Cardinal runs. The two runs by which they lead here in the last half of the fourth, 2-0. Bonham working fast into his windup. Overhand fastball swung on, to bounder out toward third. Ball takes it in one hop, goes over to Hassett low, but Hassett comes up with it in time for the out. Two away. And it's Johnny Hopp coming up. Hopp flies to Joe DiMaggio in the first inning. That's him left-handed. Bill Dickey goes down into the crowds to give Ernie Bonham the sign. Ernie hitches up his trousers to the second sign of Dickey. Into the windup. First pitch to Hopp. Swung on and missed. Strike one. Mighty Cross gets on deck when it's next, and Hop gets on base. Redroff in even with the bag at third. Here's Bonham's next delivery. Johnny Hop swings, sends the bounder between Hassett and Gordon out into right field for his first hit of the series. Cullenbine bobbles the ball. if possible, is going to try to anchor at third if the bunt can be fielded by Beasley. Murray Merritt will go over to cover second. Brown will come over to cover first. And Pop will come in from first base to take the bunt in his direction. Stretch for Beasley to pitch. Ralph swings and smacks one on the ground to Brown. Brown to Marion. Marion over to Hop. Hits a double play. Moving over to third on the twin killing was Ernie Bonham. Ralph with Bonham on second and Rizzuto on first, hit into a double play. Brown to Marion to Hop. That's the first double play of the 1942 World Series. So there are two outs. Cardinals have, for the time being, killed off the threat of a big inning. Ernie Bonham on third, two outs. Roy Columbine in the bat. Columbine struck out in the first inning, fly to Musial in the third. Switch hitter, bats left-handed against right-handed pitching. Here's the pitch to Columbine. Roy swings and hits a fly ball out into short left field. Musial is under it, and he makes the catch for the out. And so for the Yankees in the first half of the fifth.
No runs, one hit, no cardinal errors, one man left on base. And the score at the end of 4 1/2 innings, 2-0 in favor of the St. Louis Cardinals. And now for the last 4 1/2 innings of this second game of the 1942 World Series, it's a real pleasure to be able to turn the microphone over to a voice you've always heard on these Gillette World Series broadcasts, Red Barber. Here's the old redhead now.
Thanks a great deal, Mal. Well, it's been quite our first half of this ball game. Young Johnny Beasley, a kid 21 years old, Asheville, Tennessee, has just been pitching with amazing success. He has been in trouble every single inning. The Yankees, in the top of the fifth inning, tried to put the crusher on him. That is, when they had the tying runs on at first and second and nobody out. A lot of times, ball clubs play that for a bunt, move the tying runs along. But the Yankees, knowing the strength of their prowess, had Roth hit away. The ball was hit sharply at Jimmy Brown, and thus came the first double play that Mel told you about. And just a few moments ago, we were all most warmly reminded of a great sports announcer who had been with us on all of the Gillette broadcasts and been on World Series broadcasts ever since broadcasting of them had begun, Bob Elson. And as you know, Bob is now a lieutenant in the Navy, and he's just wide regards to us all and hopes that it's a great series. And we are delighted to hear from Bob. Bonham, who was standing out on third base when the last out was made, out on the bases a while, took an opportunity to go back into the dugout, get cooled off a little bit. Now we're going to the last half of the fifth inning. He's just out on the mound. Slats Marion, nicknamed because of his build. He's very tall, like a string bean. Standing up there at the plate, first hitter. It's eighth in the Cardinal batting order, and it's 2-0 in favor of the Cardinals, who jumped off in the first inning. Bonham pitches, a curve swung on. There's a high fly deep in the left center. There is Keller going over, DiMaggio going over. Keller out of the way, and DiMaggio takes it for the out. DiMaggio doesn't look like he's running very fast, but how he eats up the ground with those long strides. He's been all over the spacious area of center field here at Sportsman's Park today. So Marion, first up is out, swing on the first pitch. Center fielder put out, and here is a tremendous ovation going up for young Beasley, a rookie who wears 21, who won 21 games, and who is leading 2-0, and he's had to pitch every inning. Big Bonham, very businesslike, comes down, fastball swung on and missed. And Beasley, like a lot of these Cardinals, swings very hard. One of the reasons why the Cardinals can all run and why their pitchers are good hitters is that in the Cardinals system, when they look for young ball players, they look for the all-round athlete. Has a fastball outside, missing. Ball one. 1-1. One ball, one strike. Beasley, a right-hand hitter. Dickey going down to give the sign. Bonham, big towering right-hander, whose control is fabulous. Ready. The defense is straight away. The pitch. Over for a call, second strike. One ball, two strikes. Waist high over the outside. 2-0. Favor the Cardinals in the second game of the 1942 World Series. Here's a pitch. Swung on and was taken for call. Strike three. Beasley started a swing and couldn't. Pitch was past him. Strike three, call. And for Bonham, that's his second strikeout. And speaking of the twos, Bonham wears number 2-0. And this happens to be first base coach Mike Gonzalez's young son's second birthday. And the score is 2-0 in favor of the Cardinals. Here's Jimmy Brown, switch hitter. Ozzie hits two ways, batting left-handed. Takes pitch low inside, ball one. 1-0, two men out. Last of the fifth inning. Bonham looks out towards center field a moment, making up his mind what he wants to do. Brown crouches, deep back of the plate. Takes high outside, and it is two balls, no strikes. 2-0. Bonham moves a little dirt. He wastes no time out on the mound. Very efficient worker. Pumps vigorously. Kicks, throws. Curve on the outside, and it is 3-0. He doesn't hesitate to use his curve ball when he's behind. Neither does Beasley. 3-0 to Brown. Two out. 3-0 pitch. In there. Taken. 3-1. Summers, a very stocky individual. He stands squarely back of the catcher. When he calls a strike, suddenly his right hand flashes up. 3-1 pitch. There's that right hand flashing. Call strike two. In other words, if you don't look quickly, when Summers calls a strike, you don't see him call it. You can hear him. 3-2. Bonham comes back. Brown swings, beats it down towards second. Gordon up with it, throws to first. Plenty of time, and that's all for Brown. And it's nothing across for the Cardinals. 1-2-3 in the last half of the fifth inning. At the end of five innings, it is 2-0, favor St. Louis. And that ends the fifth inning. War Work focuses attention on zero tolerances and precision manufacture. It's interesting to note, therefore, that the Gillette Blue Blade is one of the finest examples of precision manufacture to be found anywhere. The edges of this blade are so keen, they can only be measured by a beam of light. It would take 100,000 of them laid together to equal an inch. Now we're going to the sixth inning. The Yankees have been held completely at bay by Beasley. Only two of their men have been permitted to reach third base, and on each time, the runner reaching third got there with two out. That happened in the second inning, and it happened again in the top of the fifth. Beasley has so far been in command. However, on two different occasions, the Cardinals have had bullpen support being marshaled in back of him. In the first inning, when he began by walking Rizzuto, the first hitter, and then again there in the top of the fifth. DiMaggio, who had three hits yesterday, has gone 0-for-2 today, bouncing out in the first inning, third to first, and fouling out to the first baseman in the fourth. Redoubtable, right-hand batter, first man up in the sixth inning, it's 2-0 favor of the Cardinals. Beasley comes down, fastball swung on, hit down to short, half speed. Marion up, throws, it's close, and DiMaggio's out. And that's the third bang-bang play that George Boss had at first base. He's had three close ones, and he has called them all without hesitation and with deliberate sureness. He hasn't hesitated at all. And right on top of them, called them and walked away. DiMaggio out on a close one, short to first. Marion, tall shortstop, came running in, picked up the ball and in the same motion, threw across his chest and over to first. Hop stretching out, brought it down. Here's Charlie Keller, singled his last at-bat. Takes a low inside curve, down across the shins, ball one. One out for the Yankees. Nobody on, top of the sixth inning. 2-0. Play for the at-home Cardinals. This is the second game of the series. Here comes the rookie right-hander's pitch. It's a high outside curve ball. Let up on, ball two. 2-0. Art Fletcher's the third base coach for the Yankees. Back up first, Earl Coombs. Keller crowds the plate from behind. Left-hand hitter. Outfield deep. St. Louis. Round toward right. Beasley twist throws. Fastball over. 2-1. Two balls, one strike. Keller driving that club down by the end. Beasley pitches 2-1. Charlie takes high inside. Just up over the lettering. Ball three. 3-1. One out. Nobody on. Beasley going for the rosin bag. The Cardinals got him two runs in the first inning, and he's protected them all the way. It's 2-0. And, of course, with each pitch, the pressure is now piling up. Throw. Swung on. Fouled up and back. On top of the stands. Boop. 3-2. Keller in the second inning, his first at-bat today. Fly ball to center field to Terry Moore, who gave the fans a display of his soft hands. That's the technique he uses, catching a fly ball. And then Keller practically knocked Beasley down, and he hammered a single right over him. Fourth inning. 3-2 pitch. Swung on. There's a high fly ball into short left center. Left fielder Musial waiting, waiting. Has it. And it is two out. The suspense was on that one pretty much because Musial got to the spot where the ball came down, and he had to wait. That fly ball was really up there. Two up, two down, and the batter is Gordon. Gordon got the first Yankee hit, a double inside the left field line, second inning, and then lined out to the third baseman in the fourth. Joe Stenz is deep in the box, feet close together, his right-hand batter could. Steps up, takes low, and inside, ball one. Ball's examined, plate umpire, Bill Summers, the American League staff, trying to be perfectly all right. Beasley's very sure of himself. Right-hander comes down, fastball swung on, missed. One and one. Gordon took a ruffle. Beasley has all the confidence of his youthful strength, and he's that sort of an individual. He just believes when he takes the mound that he can do it. There's a throw, swung on, foul back. You know, it's a small world. Coming out to the ballpark today, I happened to come out in the same cab which had just previously on his trip to the ballpark brought Beasley himself. And so, of course, the taxi driver was able to tell Mel and yours truly just the attitude of the young fellow. And the attitude was, he told the taxi cab driver, was he's going to win. Gordon swings, fouls it back. And it's still one ball, two strikes. Two out. Joe set. Outfield's deep, round toward left. Gordon had his greatest hitting year this past season. Cooper sets his mitt for a low target, pitches inside, and it is two and two. Two balls, two strikes. Walker, that's Walker Cooper, the catcher, strolls out in front of the plate, hollers something to his young battery mate. Now comes back, goes down to give the sign. Two balls, two strikes, two out. Nobody on in the sixth. Beasley comes down. Big curve, low inside. Ball three. Three and two. Johnny walks around back of the mound for the moment. Rubs the fingers of his right hand across his blouse. Pumps. Pumps again. Delivers. Call, strike three. A curveball. Gordon turns around. But Summers walks away. Gordon protesting. He didn't like it. And this is the first time the Yankees did not get somebody on. That's the second strikeout for Beasley. One, two, three and out. And that ends the first half of the sixth inning. Up to now, I haven't really told you a thing about Gillette Lather shaving cream. And believe me, fellas, it makes shaving much faster and far more enjoyable. Gillette Lather contains three beneficial oils. In just a jiffy, you whip up billows of lather that holds abundant moisture, softens stubble in a hurry, and stays creamy on your face all the while you're shaving. Furthermore, fans, you pay no premium for this added luxury. The extra shaving speed and comfort you get when you prepare your beard with Gillette Shaving Cream. Ask your dealer for a tube, or try Gillette Brushless. Only 25 cents. The Cardinals come in with their captain and center fielder. First up, last of the sixth inning, Terry Moore to be followed by Slaughter and then Musial. Terry Moore got the first Cardinal base hit with two men out in the eighth inning yesterday afternoon off roughing. That, of course, is well-known history. But this, I believe, you'll be interested in. When the Cardinals were taking batting practice, some fan drifted out of the stands, and before anyone detected his presence, he had picked up Terry Moore's favorite bat, the one that he used to get that base hit yesterday, and had drifted away with it. And Moore could not find it. Searched high and low. So he's using another bat. But what had become a priceless weapon, practically a museum piece, was gone. First pitch to Moore. Call strike. On him right in there. Sharp curveball. First man up, last to the sixth. Moore using a brand new bat. 0 for 2 There's the fly ball deep out into center. DiMaggio's under it and takes it for the out. And that's all for Terry. You have today, in this series, you have two of the greatest fielding center fielders in the business putting on their show, same ballpark, inning after inning. DiMaggio, Terry Moore. They really can go get them. That's one of the big arguments in baseball, is which is the better. Here's Country Slaughter, the Cardinal right fielder. Takes a pitch high inside after half bluffing a bunt. Ball one. 2-0, favor St. Louis. A walk, sacrifice and fielder's choice, and then a double by Walker Cooper. Did the business in the first inning. Pitch swung on. There's a high fly ball going out into right. Helen Vine waiting for it. Waiting. And takes it. About three steps inside the wall. And it is two up, two gone. For St. Louis, last of the sixth inning. You know, not a Cardinal who started the ball game yesterday had ever been in a World Series before. And not a Cardinal who started today has ever been in a World Series before. And so to add to that, I happened to run into old Jess Haynes this morning. And he said, you know, this series makes me feel sort of old. Here, I'll tell you the rest of it. Here's the first pitch to Musial. Swings and misses. Big curveball. Because Jess said, you know, this is the first World Series the Cardinals have ever played in which I wasn't with them. An active player. Stop to figure it out. That's it. Musial sets. Swings. Beats a sharp grim ball towards second. Gordon has it. Throws to first. Plenty of time. It's off for Stan. Thrown out second to first. Nothing across then in the last half of the sixth inning. And at the end of six innings, the totals still stand as they were at the end of five. For the Yankees, no runs. Five hits and one error. And St. Louis, two runs, two hits, and no errors. And ladies and gentlemen, your serious attention just for a moment. In this war, which is going on, which our men, our boys, the kid from just around the corner, which our men are scattered all over the world, there is a great need now, and the need undoubtedly will be greater, for blood plasma. And that is primarily the work of you listening in cooperation with the American Red Cross in the building of blood banks to help sustain the lives of our men who are risking their lives everywhere. And for those of you in America, contact your local American Red Cross chapter and find out how you can best cooperate with them in the blood donor program. And for our Canadian listeners, we suggest you call your nearest Canadian government office. For the seventh inning, Bill Dickey, first up, singled his last at bat. Be followed by Hassett, and then by Bonham. Unless MacArthur decides to go with a pinch hitter. He now has Donald and Brewer warming up in the Yankee bullpen, which would indicate that he certainly has the possibility of a pinch hitter in his mind. Dickey up, left-hand hitter. Right-hander Beasley throws. Fastball outside and low. Ball one. 1-0. The score stands 2-0. Favor the Cardinals, who are trying to get even. No game tomorrow for travel, you know. Series resuming Saturday at the stadium in New York. Beasley kicks, throws. Dickey swings. There's a high pop fly down by first. There's Hop coming in. He's under it, waiting. Makes the catch just in fair ground. Third of the way into home plate. That's all for Dickey. Popping up to the Cardinal first baseman. Beasley ready to pitch to Buddy Hassett. Hassett is a hitter. Grounded out. Second to first in the second inning. And hit a line drive, which was caught in right field by Slaughter in the fourth. 0 for 2 today. I'd feel straight away on Buddy. Beasley throws. Call strike. Under the shoulders over the outside. Hassett walks to the front of batter's box. Gets a little dust. Now steps back in. Nothing in one. One out. Nobody on. Beasley works. Throws. As a line drive hit out to left center. Musial goes over in front of it. The fielder captures it for the out, and that's all for Hassett. Two up and two down, and let's see. Will it be Bonham to bat for himself? We'll know in a moment. Yes, it will be. Here he comes. And Earl Coombs, the first base coach, waves to Brewer and Donald down in the Yankee bullpen to save yourselves, boys. Just sit down, take it easy. As a round of applause for Ernie, who made a couple of mistakes in the first inning, which came home to haunt him, in that he walked the first batter he pitched to, and then on a sacrifice by the next, he threw to the wrong base. He's right-hand batter. Beasley pitches. Low, ball one. Then came the double, which was a real frozen rope, as Walker Cooper himself would describe his line drive, which he hit to right center, got in those two men. And that's all the scoring up to now. 2-0, St. Louis. Two out for the Yankees, nobody on here in the seventh inning. Bonham takes the fastball on. Beasley is pouring his pitches down. He's a strong fella, 6'1", around 200 pounds, powerful. Delivers. There's another strike call. 1-2. Outfield toward right, despite the fact that Bonham is a right-hand batter. They don't figure that he'll pull Beasley. Throw. Curveball swung on. Tap down foul. That pitch was a big curveball. It looked like it was going to be high inside until the last split second when it broke down over the plate. And Bonham, to protect himself, just sort of took a chop at it. Tapped it down foul. Thus preserved his batting life. Young Beasley ready. Throws. Curve swung on. Hit down to short. Up with his Marion. Throw over to first. In time. And that's all for Bonham. Short to first. Nothing across then for the Yankees in the top of the seventh inning. And the thousands here at St. Louis in the packed park are standing now as this out here is the home half of the seventh. The Yankees, the visitors, and going out to take the field. 2-0, St. Louis. As we go into the last half of the seventh, it is Walker Cooper who has been the offensive payoff man for St. Louis this afternoon. With two men out and in the first inning, Jimmy Brown at second base and Terry Moore on at first. Walker Cooper hit his line drive double. He'll be followed by Hop and then by Kurowski. And Bonham just making his way out to the mound now. And he was very careful as he went across the first base foul line not to step on it. In fact, he broke step in order to step across it. Now he begins throwing down to the veteran Yankee receiver, Bill Dickey. So let's set the Yankee club afield defensively. Bonham pitching, Dickey catching. Infield, same as yesterday. Hassett is at first. Joe Gordon at second. Phil Rizzuto is at short. And at third, Red Roth. The outfield is Charlie Keller in left. Joe DiMaggio in center. And in right field, Roy Cullenbine. And here's Walker Cooper making his way now from the Cardinal dugout, which is on the third base side, on his way up to the plate. He has one for two. And that was the double that got in the two Cardinal runs. First inning. Right-hand batter. He's a rangy six-footer. Sets fairly well back in the box. Bonham works. Cooper swings. There's a high fly going into center. DiMaggio's waiting. Waiting. And he takes it. And that's all for catcher Cooper. That for DiMaggio is his sixth putout so far this afternoon. And the World Series record for the most putouts in a World Series game for a center fielder is 8. One away, and Johnny Hop, who got the last base hit for the Cardinals when he singled to right field in the fourth inning. Takes a call strike, fastball over. In fact, Hop has the only hit for the Cardinals since the first inning when Walker Cooper doubled. St. Louis has just two hits. John takes another strike call. Going over the outside. Bonham is fast. Turns his back on the batter for the moment. Looks out towards center field. Blows on his right hand. Now turns around, takes a sign from Dickey, and promptly starts rocking. Throws. Curve swung on, and it is hitting the right field for a solid base hit for Hop. Makes his turn around first base and holds up. And Hop comes up with his second straight safety. Single to right. And this is hit number 3 for the Cardinals. It is hit number 8 in the ball game. The Yankees have 5. Now Buddy Hassett comes in to hold first base. Hop leading off at that point. One man out.
And George Kurowski, who is 0 for 2, steps in. That field is a step toward left. Throw to first, and Hop has to come back on his chest and reach for first base with his hand, but he gets back in time. Hassett returns. Bonham sets. Kurowski, right-hand batter, waiting. Bonham throws. Kurowski has to lean back. High inside. Ball one. George is 0 for 2 this afternoon, and he went 0 for 3 yesterday. Bonham comes out in position, looks at first, delivers to the plate, Kurowski swings and goes around missing. One and one. At this moment, Marvin Brewer gets up to start warming on the Yankee bullpen. For St. Louis, Ernie White now begins throwing too. Also right-hander Harry Gumbert goes to work. Throw back to first. Not in time. Hop again, sliding back on his chest. One ball, one strike. That's the count. George Kurowski finishing up his rookie year. Bonham, another look at first. Throws the plate. Kurowski swings and has a high fly ball going out toward the left field corner. It's coming down in foul ground. And finally into the stands. Charlie Keller was over. But of course they don't allow the outfielders to run up in the stands. So that's a long second strike. One and two. One man out. Cardinals ahead, 2-0. And trying to start something cooking in the last of the seven. Bonham carefully down in the pitcher's position. Delivers. Kurowski swings and there's another foul. This one on top of the stands behind third base and out of the park. One and two. Brewer is throwing relatively easily, although he isn't fooling about it. Being warmed up by Coach Schulte. Bonham studies the runner at first. Johnny Hop, there he goes. And with a hit and run on, there's a drive going to the left field corner. Keller comes over and he can't hold it. And the ball is fair for an extra base. Here's Hop coming around third. Here's Kurowski coming into third. Keller finally recovers and Rizzuto relays it. And it's a triple. The hit and run on, Kurowski snapped a low, long line drive just inside the left field line toward the corner. Charlie Keller, cutting over, could not quite get down to grab it. And it's a three-bagger. The ball went through all the way back to the left field wall. Kurowski made it to third base standing. And, of course, Hop scored. And it is 3-0 in favor of St. Louis. One man out. Kurowski at third base. Slats-Marion is the hitter. And the Yankees, of course, have the infield drawn in tightly, hoping for a play at the plate. Outfield is straight away. Marion tripled, if you'll recall, in the ninth inning of yesterday's game. Swings on the first pitch. There's a hot one to third. And Roth drives the runner back to third. Throws to first in time. Marion is out. Kurowski is forced to hold on at third base. That ball was hit straight at the third baseman. It was hit sharply, righted wrong. And the experienced third striker knew what to do with it. And here is Beasley stepping in. He's quite a fair-haired child out here. And we say that as a figure of speech, as he is quite a brunette. Infield is back. Outfield is practically straight away. Bonham throws. There's a swing and a miss for strike one. Beasley cutting it a low curveball. Kurowski's on at third. Just got his first World Series safety. And he got it with a hit and run on. Three-bagger. Southworth feeling better about things. Coaching back to third. Kurowski takes a long run down off third. Beasley swings and misses. Going after a fastball. Strike two. When we say that the outfield is straight away, we mean that
they're not pulled off normal either toward left field or toward right field. Bonham takes the sign, delivers. Beasley swings and misses, strike three. And so that ends that threat. That's the third strikeout for Bonham, and it is one run, two hits. 3-0 St. Louis, and that ends the seventh inning. Maybe you've never noticed them, but every Gillette Blue Blade has marks resembling the Roman numerals 1 and 2 on the ends projecting beyond your razor. These enable you to distinguish between the edges and to give each equal use, thereby prolonging the life of the blade. In principle and results, this is like crisscrossing automobile tires, and it's mighty worthwhile, for you get several extra shaves from every blade. Here are the seventh inning totals for the visiting Yankees. No runs, 5 hits, 1 error, half a dozen men left. And for the Cardinals, 3 runs, 4 hits, and no errors, and just 3 men left. And all eyes are being glued faster and faster on this strapping 6-foot figure of a rookie right-hander stepping onto the mound. It's a very key assignment and doing very nobly. Johnny Beasley. However, as time grows shorter, ball game going into the eighth inning, manager Southworth is not any longer going to risk not having a man ready in the bullpen. So Harry Gumba, who is a very experienced right-hander, this is his third World Series. He was in the last two of the Giants. Gumba, who relieved to one batter yesterday, is in the bullpen for St. Louis. Now Rizzuto, first up in the eighth. Swings, fouls the first pitch off, strike one. Rizzuto singled his last time up. He walked in the first inning, fly ball, left field in the third, single to left in the fifth. Very stocky, sturdy little right-hand batter, crouches, bunts and misses completely. There he was at his famous specialty and didn't even touch the ball. It was a fastball that he tried to bunt. It was really blown right down in there, too. Nothing in two. Outfield, a couple of steps around toward left field. On Rizzuto, they play him to pull. Swings on a curve and pulls a line drive foul. Out past left. Count hangs. Nothing in two. First man up in the eighth. The score is 3-0 in favor of the Cardinals. Young Beasley delivers. A curveball, foul down into the ground. Bounced up against the knees of catcher Walker Cooper. Still nothing in two. Beasley goes up over his head, twists, throws. Curve low outside. Threw it down into the dirt, just outside the plate. Rizzuto, field if he tempted. 1-2. 1-2. 3-0. Favor the Cardinals. Fighting to get this series on an even keel. A pitch, curveball, swung on and missed. Strike three. And we have time right now in this second game of the World Series to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual.
WGN, the voice of the people, Chicago.
Red Roth, left-hand hitter. One out, nobody on. Eighth inning. Takes a fastball low inside. 4-1. Roth has 1-4-3 this afternoon. Doubled. Right field. Third inning. Digs in. Takes a fastball over. Ball strike. And Beasley, if anything, has grown faster. The ball game has progressed. In fact, he couldn't be any faster than he is right now. Comes down, curveball, swung on, hit down to second. Up with it is Brown, throws to first, and Rolf is out. Second to first. And it is two up. Two away. Roy Cullenbine is the batter. Boy's gone 0 for 3. Struck out in the first inning. The fly balls to left in the third and in the fifth. Two out.
Bases are like Mother Hubbard's cupboard. They're empty. Fastball low inside. 4-1. 3-0. Favor the Cardinals. Hunk Beasley licks the ends of the fingers of his right hand. It's a pitching mannerism of his. The outfield's around toward right on Cullenbine. Takes a high outside fastball. 2-1. Roy is a switch hitter, and he hits with equal facility, too, from either side of the plate. It's right-handed pitching, such as he's facing today, and Johnny Beasley, he's batting left-handed. Right side of the infield is deep. First baseman hops, step in toward the line. Strike, call, fastball. 2-1. Beasley has a great deal of poise, especially for a kid. And remember, last year, down in New Orleans, he only won 16 ball games. Here's first year in the big leagues. He won 21. Roy takes a call, second strike. The ball was right off the belt buckle over the inside. Roy stepped up on the pitch and was off balance a little bit. And also, he didn't like the call of the plate umpire. 2-2. Roy sets. Beasley delivers. Roy swings at a bounding ball. Hit to deep second. Brown knocks it down, but he can't recover in time. And Cullenbine is on, hitting the ball through the hole between first and second. Brown, at the edge of the right field grass, knocked it down, but couldn't recover. And it is scored as a single. This is the first man to get on since Rizzuto singled with nobody out in the fifth inning. In other words, 10 Yankees went down in order. This is the first batter in the last 11. Get on. And Joe DiMaggio stepping in. That's hit number 6 for the Yankees. Curve low outside into the dirt. Cooper blocks it. 4-1. DiMaggio this afternoon is 0-3. Cullenbine ready to go on anything. Leading down off first. Outfield is just as deep as it can get. Round toward left on Joe. There goes Cullenbine. There's the throw down to second base. And Roy is safe. Brown put the ball on him, not in time. And Cullenbine, sliding around, reaches a hand for the bag and makes it.
Stolen base
is credited to Cullenbine. And he was going. Look for the moment. The play was closed, as though Cal Hubbard was going to put the out sign on. And then as he got down, seeing the plate closer, he flashed the save. Cullenbine walking off second. 3-0. Favor the Cardinals. DiMaggio takes a strike. 2-1. The other pitch on which Cullenbine went down was a ball. 2-1. 2 balls, 1 strike. DiMaggio swings and there is a base hit out in the right field. Here's Cullenbine around third base. And the throw goes, is cut off to hold DiMaggio at first as the run scores. Cullenbine comes in. And DiMaggio singles into right. And the Yankees get their first run. Now it is 3-1. That for Joe is his fourth hit in the World Series. Second run that he's batted in. This is hit number 7 for the Yankees this afternoon. And Harry Gumbert is not sparing the horses as he warms up Cardinal bullpen. 2 down. DiMaggio is at first. The tying run's at the plate. Charlie Keller has one hit a single this afternoon, 1-3. Keller swings. There's a high one, which is going out toward the pavilion roof. And it's a home run. Keller dug in. As you know, he is very wicked with that wood and teed off on the first pitch. It was a high line drive and it went well to the top of the right field pavilion roof. There was no question when the ball was struck. And it is now quickly 3 runs in for the Yankees and it's all tied at 3-3 and Joe Gordon is the batter. Takes a strike. Fastball over. A single by Cullenbine, followed by a single by DiMaggio. Cullenbine scored. He had stolen second base. And then came Keller's home run. So it's all tied at 3-3. There's a high foul ball hit out along left and into the stands. And it is strike two to Joe Gordon, the acrobatic second baseman. And Keller really took a toehold. Apparently he was looking for that fastball on the first pitch, and he certainly waded into it. Beasley comes back. Gordon swings and misses. Strike three, and he was struck out on a low outside curve. That's the fourth strikeout for Beasley. Three runs for the Yankees on three hits. Yet nobody left. It's all tied, and that ends the first half of the eighth inning. You've listened, I hope, to the hints we have given you on how to prolong razor blade life and get more comfortable shaves, too. Please keep them in mind, and by all means remember Gillette Shaving Cream. At the moment, I'm thinking of Gillette Lather Cream. Frankly, we believe there isn't another lather cream that's 1, 2, 3 with this one. Made with three beneficial oils, it whips up into a rich, creamy lather that holds plenty of moisture and softens tough beards in a hurry. What comfortable shaves you get. Take it from me, they're quick and good-looking, too. But maybe you're a brushless fan. Well, just let me tell you about Gillette Brushless, if you don't already know. It's fresh-scented, greaseless, speed-shaving, and can't clog razor or drains. Made with peanut oil, it's particularly kind to tender skins. Your dealer has Gillette Shaving Cream, either lather or brushless, 25 cents. Get a tube, and for an especially good buy in the brushless, ask for the giant-size economy tube. Only 33 cents. Going into the last half of the eighth inning, it's the top of the order for the Cardinals. Little Jimmy Brown to be followed by Terry Moore, then by Country Slaughter. And it's a brand new ball game. You might say a sudden death ball game right now. It's all tied, 3-3. And here's Big Bonham, who's restored to parity, delivering outside, fastball for ball one. Bonham had pitched from behind since the first inning on until this very moment. Charlie Keller's high line drive to the top of the right field pavilion. Only round tripper so far of this World Series, tied it up a moment ago. Has a pitch low outside for ball two. For Keller, hitting home runs in a World Series, of course, is no novelty. This is the fourth that he's unloaded. Bonham, back of the mound, picks his uniform. He's behind 2-0. Down in the Yankee bullpen, Donald and Brewer, both right-handers, warming up. Bonham delivers in there for a strike. Pass ball over, above the knees. Two balls, one strike. Throw, low inside for ball three. Down in the Cardinal bullpen, a little right-hander who's finishing up his rookie year, Dixon, quite successful. He was quite a relief pitcher for the Cardinals, their great drive. He's warming up. Bonham delivers, over for a call, second strike, and the count is full, 3-2. It's quite a ball game. Sir, I'm going to have both my ears read back to hear what Sage Bill Corum has to say when he comes on with his summation after the action is over. Brown swings, there's a line drive into the dirt in front of second. Gordon up with it, throws to first in time. And Brown is out. The ball was hit down by the second baseman, exploded in the ground in front of him, but Gordon unflinchingly went in, dug it out, hit the play over to first, and Brown, hitting the ball right on the nose, is nevertheless retired by a step at first. Second to first. Gordon to Hassett. And Terry Moore, who is hitless, two official at-bats today. Outfield straight away. More right-hand batter. Swings and tips a ball right back foul into the chest protector of the plate umpire. In the American League, their umpire stands squarely in back of the catcher as compared in the National League to the National League umpires who move to get off the catcher's shoulder into the crack between the catcher and the batter. And there's a difference in chest protectors. The pitch low for ball one. One and one. In the American League, the outside inflated windbag chest protectors use. In the National League, they use a fiber and metal protector that fits right over the vest and is worn under the coat, which is called the inside protector. Moore takes low outside, 4-2. 2-1, 2-1. One man out for the Cardinals, last of the eighth inning. She's all tied at 3-3. You couldn't ask for a prettier ball game than is going on today. Here's Big Bonham. Pumping throws. Four swinging. Fouled it straight back up against the screen. 2-2. 2-2. Southworth facing up and down. Back of third base. He's his own third base coach. It was announced after yesterday's game, you know, that Southworth's managerial contract with St. Louis had been renewed. A pitch high inside to Terry Moore, and it's 3-2. Mike Gonzalez pitching back to first for the Cardinals. In fact, Mike is going to be honored when the World Series gets back to the stadium. There's a foul tip. Moore swinging on a 3-2 pitch. Dickey couldn't quite hold it. Mike is quite a figure down in Cuba. And Cuba is very, very much interested in American baseball. They're very proud of their citizens who have participated in this game. And a Cuban flag has been sent. More swings. There's a long fly ball into deep left center. Back goes DiMaggio. Back, and pulls it down. That's the outfield. That's the outfield catch so far the series. And Terry Moore is out. He's robbed by a great catch that a lot of people would say only the other fella could catch against him. That's one great fielding center fielder being retired by another one. Terry Moore being robbed by DiMaggio. That's the seventh putout for DiMaggio, who's one shy now of tying his own record for putouts in the outfield. That's the World Series record. Country Slaughter swings on the first pitch. There's a line drive hit down to the right field corner. And it's an extra base. There's Slaughter on his way for second. And slides. It's going to be close. The ball gets away from Rizzuto. Slaughter's up. He's on his way for third base. Keller retrieves and then runs it in. And it is a double and an error. And Slaughter is at third. With two down in the last of the eighth inning. Slaughter. Polak's a line drive. And an error is charged against Rizzuto, who took Cullenbine's good throw at second base and let it get away from him. So it's a double for Slaughter. Double to right field. And he moves right on down to third base on the shortstop's error. So, 3-3 ball game. That's the fifth hit for St. Louis. Second error for the Yankees. And the situation now is how about pitching to Stan Musial? He's stepping in. Bonham looks around. Dr. Slaughter walking down off third. Musial swings. There's a bounding ball back through the middle. It's a base hit in the center field. And the Cardinals break the tie. Cracked a clean base hit right back to the middle. It's his first World Series safety. And naturally, Slaughter cruised in from third, and it's 4-3 St. Louis. And the batter now is Walker Cooper. Swings and has a line drive out into right. And Cullenbine grabs it for the out. And Walker Cooper savagely slashed a line drive, which the right fielder caught. And it is one run. On one hit, you score that run is earned, as it would have scored from second, despite the error. One run, two hits. One run, two hits, one error. The run is earned, and it is 4-3 in favor of St. Louis. The Yankees come in for the top of the ninth. They heroically got three runs to get even in the eighth. Now they find they have to get one to stay alive here in the top of the ninth inning. Boy, it's a battle, isn't it? You said it. Say, you know, next to a letter from home, you can scarcely name a thing that servicemen appreciate more than easy-shaving Gillette Blue Blades. And remember, folks,
Christmas gifts going to men overseas should be mailed immediately. Down in the Cardinal bullpen. Left hand to White and right hand to Gumbut. If there's going to be the slightest bit of trouble. And Slaughter, in his mad dash around the bases, tore his trousers. And the start of the ninth inning had to be delayed while he went back into the clubhouse, got another pair. You know, tomorrow night, the sensational welterweight Ray Robinson meets Jack LaMotta, Madison Square Garden in New York. Bill Corum and Don Dunphy will be there to report this cavalcade of sports feature for you. Now here's the first pitch to Bill Dickey as we go into the ninth inning. High outside for ball one. For good listening for the fight tomorrow night, be with us by way of your mutual station at 10 p.m. Eastern Wartime. It's tomorrow, Friday night. Dickey swings as a bounding ball, hit wide at first. Jimmy Brown fumbles it, and Dickey is on safely. And they're waiting the judgment of the official scorer. A ball hit deep in the hole between first and second. And Dickey is on at first base. And just a moment, he's immediately giving way to a pinch runner, George Steinbeck. Former Cardinal, by the way. And that scored as a base hit. Figured it was too difficult for second baseman Brown to handle cleanly. Single for Dickey. That's Bill's second safety this afternoon. And the batter is Buddy Hassett. And Steinbeck immediately takes over at first. Steinbeck running for Dickey. 4-3. Favor the Cardinals. Hassett 0-3 so far in the ballgame. Throw. Swung on. There's a bounding ball and the base hit. It's in the right field. There's Steinbeck around second on his way for third. Slaughter's throw. It's going to be close. And Steinbeck is out. Slaughter throws him out. At third base. And pinch runner George Steinbeck, who's very fast. Tore right around second base without hesitating and streaked for third on Hassett's sharp single into right field. And Slaughter, who opened up with a double in the last half of the eighth inning, is making himself more solidly one of the first citizens of St. Louis when he threw a strike from deep right field all the way on the fly, on the carry, not on the bounce at all, to third baseman Kurowski, and Steinbeck was out, sliding in. So, one man is out. Top of the ninth inning. Buddy Hassett's on at first base. The Yankees still have the tying run on, but now one man is out. And that great throw by Slaughter changed what would have been runners at first and third and nobody out to a man at first base and one out. And a pinch hitter is coming into the ball game, and who do you think he is? The Yankee pitcher of yesterday, Red Ruffing. And Ruffing is going to bat for Bonham. Red Ruffing, great hitter in his own right. Ruffing stepping in. Hit for Bonham, the ninth inning. The Cardinals lead 4-3. They're fighting like hungry cats to hang on. Slaughter has suddenly come alive. Last inning in this one. I feel a step toward right. Ruffing takes a curveball. It's over for a call strike. Base has gone all the way. Back of him in the bullpen. Left hand to White. Right hand to Gumbut. In the Yankee bullpen, right-handers Brewer and Donald. 4-3, favor the Cardinals. Hassett leads off first. Ruffing swings as a fly ball going into right field. Back goes Slaughter and makes the catch, a step out in front of the wall. Back to first base comes Hassett, and it's two gone. And the Yankees now have one out left, and they are run behind. Top of the order, Bill Rizzuto. Saying be sure and stay with us now for the summary and highlights of today's very thrilling ball game, which will be given you by Bill Corum. Rizzuto up.
Yankees down to their last out. 4-3 St. Louis. There's a call strike. Fastball over. 1-0. Johnny Hop holding first. Hassett leading off. He, of course, is ready to go on anything. The pitch. Fastball is hit down by second base. Up with it is Marin. Throws to first. The game's over. To remark, they are throwing hats and papers and cushions all around Schwartzman's Park. St. Louis is very, very happy. This time yesterday, they weren't so happy. The series is now all even at a game apiece. At a game apiece. Well, Bill Corum will come in any moment now with his highlights of today's game. But before we hear from Bill, let this old redhead say just one more thing. In all this world, there is no other blade as sharp, as easy shaving, or as long-lasting as the Gillette Blue Blade. Responsible for this are the high-precision standards observed at shaving headquarters, plus skilled technicians in specialized facilities. Now, as you would expect, in addition to supplying razors and blades to our armed forces, Gillette is taking an active and important part in the war production. This work falls into two classifications. First, manufacture of war material. Second, and most significant, manufacture of precision dies and machine tool parts for America's most outstanding tool makers. This, of course, is a real tribute to Gillette and clearly emphasizes the fact that in the entire field of precision manufacture, there is not a more exacting operation than production of the Gillette Blue Blade. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to give you all the highlights, the drama, the human flow that was in this battle this afternoon in which the Cardinals won 4-3 to get even, and to also give you the official totals, is our good friend and sports columnist for the New York Journal-American, Bill Corum, who right now, I don't know whether he's going to be from his native town of St. Louis or from his adopted town of New York, so let's listen.
Fred, I'm not going to be in either one, but these finishes really got you pretty dizzy around here, haven't you? This eighth and ninth innings of these series are something. You get all set, for instance, to welcome Johnny Beasley as the first fella who shut out the Yankees since old Jess Haynes did it in this park in 1926 when the Cardinals beat him 4-0, and then, boom, here come the Yanks in typical Yankee fashion to tie it up with three runs, largely, of course, on Charlie Keller's tremendous home run onto the roof over the bleachers and Grand Boulevard. As Hank Greenberg said here before this game started of yesterday's game, too little and too late, and it happened to be with the Yankees the same case this afternoon, too little and too late in the eighth. Although they got the tie, the Cardinals came ripping back with a fella who was something of a goat yesterday. Although only one error was charged against him, a lot of good baseball men thought that Eno Slaughter might have caught two doubles that came off that right field screen yesterday. One, of course, was scored as a two-base error. The other, they thought he might very well have handled had he been playing in his accustomed fashion. But he didn't do it yesterday, so he did it today. A great baseball player with two out, he rammed a double down the right field line, and the Cardinals came charging back to get the run that gave Mr. Beasley, a freshman pitcher and a fellow who won 21 and lost only 6 in the National League this year, a victory over the mighty Yankees who played, as I said before, in typical Yankee fashion between the behind the masterful pitching of Ernie Bonham. And here are the totals to show you that Bonham was a great big pitcher, and a big pitcher in more respects than one this afternoon. 4-6-0-4, four runs, six hits, no errors, four men left for the Cardinals. 3-10-2-7, three runs, 10 hits, two errors, and seven left on base for the Yankees. So the Cardinals won the ball game with four less hits than the Yanks got, and Bonham was truly a master out there until Stan Musial stepped up and shot a single over second base. He'd been pretty helpless before that, but he hit it when it counted. He shot a single through the middle of the box and of the infield over the box, and in came the winning run. And I can tell you these St. Louis fans are certainly happy here this afternoon, as they have every right to be, and I think we all have every right to be, because it's made it a series where the Yankees obviously are they're not going to run off and hide. It's going to be a series right down to the wire, I'm sure. As I said to Red, I'm not for anybody. I'm for the better ball club. These Yankees are real champions. But I do take pride in seeing a bunch of kids like these Cardinals step in there and give them such a battle. We had old Grandpa Ruffing in there, a fellow who'd pitched 8 World Series games. Yesterday, he won his 7th to become the greatest World Series pitcher of all time. 38 years old in my book. Some say 37, but my scores show that 38. We won't quibble over that. 37 or 38, Red is. And here's a 21-year-old kid that comes back this afternoon and is right on the verge of pitching a shutout against the Yankees. And as I say, that hadn't been done since 1926. Just as close he was as Ruffing was to pitching a no-hit game yesterday. So all the drama comes piled in these last innings, as it should. And I can say that this was a real honey of a ball game. Not because the Cardinals happened to even up the score and make it 1-1 as far as the series goes, but because it was a good ball game in every respect. And for the first time in the series, that vaunted speed that everybody has talked about the Redbirds, made itself felt and was in evidence. They took chances. They were tearing around those bases. And here's a little item for you. When Slaughter came out in the 9th inning, he was wearing a new pair of baseball pants. I don't know whether he traveled so fast that he left his first pair back of them when he went around those bases in the 8th, but I do know that he came out to field the 9th inning in a new pair. And he was certainly traveling, as he was when Cullenbine pulled what is known in baseball as a rock and threw behind the runner early in the game. You can't do that with these Cardinals. When he threw that ball to first base, Mr. Enos was gone to second just as surely as anything could be, even if Hassett hadn't dropped the ball and been charged with what was a regrettable error, in my opinion. An error, nevertheless, because he let the low throw get away. But really, it was Cullenbine who violated the cardinal rule of baseball by throwing behind the runner, and you can do it with feather-footed fellows like these, I assure you. Now, the great credit, the hero of this ball game, is unquestionably Beasley. They said a right-hander, a speedball pitcher, a strong-arm boy, couldn't beat the Yankees. Well, he beat them. He almost had them shut out. The Yanks came back, as they will, and Keller, a powerhouse if ever I saw one, King Kong they call him, and he lives up to that name, almost won it and would have, naturally, if they could have just got one run on there ahead. DeMadge, who's been hitting wonderfully well, the Yankee clipper in this series, was the fellow that broke up Beasley's no-run, that is, scoreless game, by singling into right field to score the first Yankee run. Keller, however, hadn't been hitting up to today, and I thought yesterday Cooper pitched beautifully to him. Today, however, he got the feel of the ball, and he is going to hit, as he always does, and when he hits for distance. So did Whitey Kurowski. Pitchers in this series have been handling him perfectly, too, pitching under his wrist, you might say, keeping the ball in there close to him, and the Dodgers and others found out in the National League that that's the way to handle him. But today he got a hold of one that rode down the left field line for a triple, and he hits that ball pretty hard, and when he hits it, like all the Cardinals, he travels pretty fast. So I think we're going back to New York to see one of the greatest World Series of all time. Played on into the third game there on Saturday. I think that it's still anybody's series, as the standing now shows. And I have a hunch, just a hunch, that maybe the Yankees will find some trouble with southpaws. That's a little difficult to say. I'll say it left-handers. I'll say the Cardinal left-handers may conceivably trouble the Yankees' great hitters. But it's going to be a series right down to the wire, and if the Yankees should be upset, you may be sure that they will have been upset by a great ball team, because they are a great ball team themselves and a great bunch of champions. Now, tomorrow we'll be en route to New York, headed for the Yankee Stadium, where the third game of the series will be played Saturday afternoon. Make a special note of this. We come on the air sharply at 1:15 Eastern Wartime Saturday. That's an hour earlier than starting time yesterday and today. So plan accordingly. Tune in Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports for the third game of the World Series at 1:15 Eastern Wartime Saturday afternoon. For you fellows who like a good scrap, Don Dunphy and I will report the 10-rounder between Ray Robinson and Jack LaMotta tomorrow night from ringside at Madison Square Garden. Be with us, radio-wise, for this next boxing feature on Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports. Tune in your mutual station at 10 p.m. Eastern Wartime. Until then, smooth sailing, smooth shaving. This is Bill Corum saying good afternoon for the Gillette Safety Razor Company, Red Barber, and Mel Allen. This is Mutual.